Last week we talked about the idea of being a witness, and that a witness was somebody who talked about, who testified about the things that they saw and experienced. And so then we talked about our oikos, our household, the number, the people that we are related to and influence, and we developed an oikos list, and from that we developed a prayer list of people specifically that we were focusing on, trying to share the gospel with, and that we could begin praying for them. So we want to move on from there. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. For a few minutes here at the beginning today, I'm just going to talk a little bit, and you guys can follow along and listen, and then we're going to get into some more activities that you can focus on doing in your groups. 1 Peter 3:13, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with a gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. All right, so he says in the middle of that passage, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And he's talking about our witness, talking about not necessarily always sharing the whole gospel plan with somebody, but being ready and willing to talk about our faith and how it drives us and those kinds of things. So as we're thinking about these people that we're praying for, people that God has laid on our heart that we're trying to share the gospel with, part of interacting with them is just talking with them about our experience of God. So I'm gonna lay out to you what we call the fish process. Somebody created this. This is not me, but somebody has created this thing, and it uses the acronym FISH. And the F stands for find. Find out things about these people. Find out their interest. Find out their needs. Find out their spiritual history. Find out their attitude towards Jesus. And the whole point of doing that is assessing their life situation, their spiritual state. Where is this person, right? Maybe I don't know. Maybe you already know those things, but if you don't know, you can find out by asking them questions, talking about your experiences, asking them about theirs. And so begin to delve into those kinds of things with somebody. So that's the F, find. The I is interest. How do I get them interested in spiritual things? And so you want to do it. There's a number of things you can do to try to build their interest. One would be to give your own testimony about how you came to faith. But the other one, the rest of these are more ongoing life experience kind of things. So you share with them answers to prayer. You're praying about things in your own life, and as God answers those prayers, you talk to people about them, right? You share with them things that you are learning in your own personal time with God. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because just this morning I was reading in Scripture and it was talking about this and that, and you can talk about that, what I'm learning from God. And what this does when you begin to do that, talk about God in your everyday conversations, is number one, it helps reinforce in our own lives what God's doing in our lives. But it also helps people to understand that this faith is an actual regular part of who you are, intertwined with every part of your life, right? I think sometimes we as Christians we don't want to offend, and so we keep our mouths shut about those things. But when we're talking about our witness, our experience, you know, it's pretty hard to argue with your experience. And, you know, when I'm reading my Bible and God's saying this to me, or I'm praying for this and God gives me this answer, you know, and then you can even ask them, well, can I pray for you? You know, some events going on in their life. Let me pray for you. and that might provide an opportunity to build their interest. You could invite them to be involved in some activity that the church is doing, to come to a worship service. Now, I want to be careful with the invitation to church, because sometimes we think that's the end-all, be-all. And it's a good step, but just inviting somebody to church isn't bringing them to know Christ, right? But what it can do is it can help them to get to know other friends that you have that are part of the kingdom. It can help them to see that church is a normal thing and not, you know, the lightning bolt's not going to hit the building because they walked in the door, those kinds of things. So having spiritual conversations where we bring up things of faith and talk about our own experiences in those, but also asking them about their experience. Yes. All right, so F stands for finding out their interests, their spiritual history, where they are in life. I is for interest. How do I get them interested? By sharing with them my own life and my own experiences with God, including my own personal testimony, but these other things as well. S stands for sharing. Find ways to introduce the gospel message. You can do a gospel presentation. Here is the gospel message. You could invite them to be a part of a discovery Bible study where you're just going to, hey, well, let's just read it together and see what we find out, kind of things. You could give them a book to read or a tract to read. There's a number of ways that you can share the gospel with them. We will be in, I'm not sure if it's next week or the week after, I will be presenting to you and teaching you a gospel presentation that's pretty simple and straightforward, and how to go about doing that. So you'll get an opportunity to learn a specific thing there. So that's the sharing the gospel. So finding, getting them interested, sharing the gospel, and then the H is help. People sometimes need help making that final decision. Many people have heard the gospel, but they won't respond necessarily to it. They even will know they need to respond, but they'll hold back for some reason. And so sometimes they need somebody to help them to take that final step. I kind of hate to use this analogy, because we're not selling anything. We're asking people, inviting people to be a part of God's family. But in selling, there's this concept called closing the deal, where it's after you've presented all the information, and sometimes you just need to get to a point of asking for a response, a decision. And sometimes people just need that. So you could say, all right, well, you know all of this, and you seem to believe it all, but what's holding you back? Why are you waiting? Right? How can I help you with that? So you could ask them to make a decision. Today would be a great day to make a decision. Let's do it. Right? You can discover if they have any specific fears or obstacles. One person that I was talking with one time, they were all about it, but whenever we started talking about actually, you know, making the decision and coming forward, then it was like, put on the brakes. And finally, I got wise and said, is there something that you're afraid of? What is the deal? Well, they were petrified of water. And so the idea of baptism was something we had to work through and deal with that. I mean, it had nothing to do at that point with faith in Christ, but it was overcoming a fear. And so sometimes those things can become an issue. So we need to help them to make that decision. Now, this is a nice acrostic. It spells fish, and it kind of leads that thing through. But you got to follow the Spirit as He's leading you in these relationships. You're not going to follow step by step necessarily with every person. But the idea is that we begin to build this relationship, and then we include spiritual aspects in that. And really, we should be doing that in all of our relationships, that we just talk about what I'm learning from God, what God is doing for me, answers to prayer, prayer requests. We're sharing that regularly. That's part of what it, being a part of the church, the Christian family is about. That's how we know to support one another. Okay, Steve's pet peeve, right? Just one, but is what?
Wear shoes,
yes, wear shoes. Yeah, I don't care if you people wear shoes, but if you're one of my children, wear shoes. All right, is many times somebody who's left the church, when you go talk to them, they'll say, well, that church doesn't care. Nobody there cares about me or things going on in my life. Well, I understand that feeling, and sometimes the church people in the church have dropped the ball. There's no doubt about it. But many times, that person has never shared with anybody, never built relationships, never talked about the struggles, the ongoing things in their life. And so they don't open those things up. And when we don't open those things up, then we're isolated, right? And it's not so much the fault of the rest of the church, but of that individual. I could give you multiple examples of people that have done that. You probably know people like that. This is kind of why the last session we talked about being in relationships and accountability and that kind of stuff for exactly these kinds of reasons. All right. So, lots of ideas there, things about thinking about this as a process of sharing the gospel with somebody through my testimony and my witness and my life and a relationship with them rather than a one-time event sort of thing. Right? I think that's, you know, the idea of, hey, I'm going to knock on the door and have somebody come to the door and, all right, here's the gospel of Jesus. Not that that can't work, but it's much more a part of who we are and a part of our relationships is the way God designed this whole thing to work. So a big part of that is sharing my personal testimony with somebody. And this is the part I want us to work on. I want to give you some guidelines for a personal testimony. All right? This is what you're going to say to somebody, and they say, well, what do you believe? or are you a Christian? Right? You got a testimony. So here's some guidelines. Number one, 3 minutes is the absolute longest maximum it should possibly be, and shorter is better. Right, 3 minutes. We asked people to give testimonies here at church one time, and some of them went like 15 minutes, 20 minutes long. It's way too long. 3 minutes. 3 minutes. We want to get this down to just the core thing. So we're not going to include everything about it. We're not going to tell all about our childhood. We're not going to tell. Your testimony is not your life history, right? It's not your life history. It's about your interaction with God, right? And we want to narrow it down to the core aspects of it. So 3 minutes at the most, not life history, focused on your relationship with God and including three basic elements. Element number one, who you were before you trusted Jesus. Right? Who you were before you trusted Jesus. Element number two, how you came to trust Jesus. And element number three, what is your life like now that you trust Jesus? So who I was before, how it came to be, and who I am now, what my life is like now. The focus here I want us to see in that is that people see the transition from not following Christ to following Christ. That's the key point we want people to grasp in our testimony. Okay, so what's that look like for those who have been raised in the church their whole lives? Maybe I don't have a dramatic testimony, right? Okay, number one. Your life story is your life story. This is your testimony. This is your witness. This is what you lived. So be honest about that, right? This is not I'm trying to make something fit something. This is just my experience, right? So part number one, what was your life like before you trusted Jesus? Well, I was raised in the church, went there all my life, you know, was taught these things. Maybe as simple as that, right? Part number two, when did you come to trust Jesus? For me, in my personal testimony, I was in college. I had been baptized as a child, and I don't doubt my faith at that point, but it didn't transform my life until I was in college. And so for me, I'm talking about that, not my baptism at 11. July 11, 1978. But I'm not talking about that in my testimony. I'm talking about what happened when I was in college and God became real to me. Right? Right? Does that help? Yeah. Yeah. So for many of us who were raised in the church, it may not be this huge, dramatic life change. I was a, you know, an alcoholic and a, you know, and I killed my first three wives and no. Yeah. No. Don't make it something it's not. Be real. This is your life. It's your testimony. Remember, a witness is somebody who talks about the things they know, the things they've seen, the things they have experienced. So this is what we want. The testimony is what the witness says. So you're the witness. You're on the stand. You're giving a testimony. What is it that Christ has done in your life? All right? Who was I before? How did that change? And then what difference did that make? Right? That's the key thing. We don't want a whole big long life history. We don't want focus on anything other than Christ, not even church necessarily, but on Christ and your connection with him and the transition that he made in who you are, right? Now, you can also have a testimony that's not about your salvation, right? So you can have a testimony of, I lived this way for a long time. I was a really lousy husband, and then I got I went to a marriage seminar or whatever, and, you know, the truth, and then I changed, and now I treat my wife this way, right? So that's a testimony as well, but it's not necessarily a salvation testimony, right? And so that's one of the things to think about. We're going to spend some time right now developing a salvation testimony, but when you're talking to your friends and people that you're sharing the gospel with, you can talk to them about any change that Christ has brought into your life, right? I was a liar, and then Christ brought transition, and now I don't lie. You can do that in across a broad area of things. Wherever you have experienced true life change as a result of the work of Christ in your life. Okay, you with me? All right, so I want you to take a few minutes here, and I want you to develop your testimony. Remember, if it's longer than 3 minutes, it's too long, period. No more than that. I'm not asking you to write a 5-page paper, all right? I don't want that. That's not what you need. Something that's 3 minutes or less. What was your life before? How did Christ come about and bring change? What's your life now? How has it changed? What's that transition? What's the change that Christ has brought in you? Right? Because that's what you're telling somebody. I want you to know Christ because he's done this for me. Right? It's not about doctrine or theology or Bible. It's just about, here's what he's done for me. And you need to know him because he can do the same for you. I know maybe not everybody's had a chance to share yet, but I want you to set some goals for this week, and you can do this within your small groups there to encourage one another. Set a specific goal. We've talked about, and you know, we've created a list of people we're praying for through our Oikos list. So I want to encourage you to set a specific goal. I'm going to share the gospel, share my testimony with so and so who's on my prayer list. I'm going to find a common area of interest with so-and-so who's on my prayer list. I'm going to help my children or my spouse develop their 3-minute testimony. something specific that you can be working on this week. I'm going to practice my testimony, maybe just at home with my family. So set a specific goal around that. You can share that goal in your list. Now remember, we've talked about the whole fish acrostic, finding out where people are, getting to know them, finding out their spiritual things, sparking their interest, and doing that by talking to them about your spiritual life and those kinds of things, sharing the gospel itself, different ways to do that, and then helping them to make a decision. So any of that, it doesn't have to just be your testimony, but any of that that we've talked about as well today could be part of your goal. Remember, the idea of this all of Discipleship U is not just that we learn knowledge, but that we develop skills that we can put into practice. So we want to set a goal so that we're practicing these things, not just here for an hour, but throughout the week as well. All right, so do that. Talk about your goals. Think about your goals in your little groups, and then you pray, and then we'll be done. Is there any questions? Is that clear?